Good morning, Alan. Thank you very much for coming along and taking part in this little interlude or preamble, as it were, to the film and the Eaglesham that we're hoping to organise. And you were with us last night at the dinner, and I hope you enjoyed that.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And you got a chance to talk to the Earl, and the two landowners, as it were able to share thoughts. Your own family's involvement began in November 1844, when the two brothers,
that's right,
bought the,
yes,
15,000 acres of Eaglesham from the Eglintons. Where did the money come from for that?
This is from timber and shipping in,
right,
Canada. They bought some land in northern Canada at the beginning of the 1800s. So they spent their time mainly over in Canada, and then came back to Eaglesham.
Mm-hmm.
So they originally did come from Eaglesham, from farming stock.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh, right.
So building up the family tree, I only found that out about a year ago. So they had a small timber firm in Glasgow, and from that they made some money to be able to build a small ship called the Mary. And they went across, and it was a very rough passage. And
that was what, the 1830s?
About 1825. I haven't got the exact date of it, but there is Gilmore letters explaining about it, about the trip. And they went across to Shallow Bay, and they had to moor up in Shallow Bay because the weather was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they managed to make their way up to northern Canada.
But what age were they then, Alan?
Oh, I'm 20. But Alan was older,
mm-hmm,
and James was around 20. Alan was considerably older, but brothers.
Yeah.
And they had the foresight to go really north, far north in Canada,
uh-huh,
where not many people have gone to get the timber because it was so difficult to get it out.
A wild place, wasn't it?
Yes, a wild place. There was no roads.
No roads.
So they literally camped, and they built their own roads,
mm-hmm,
to get the timber out.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, they used any river, any stream, to float the timber out. And they made it. And then they started sawmills.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started building their own ships.
And was this in Quebec?
Yes, in Wolf's Cove in Quebec, they had a shipbuilding yard.
Mm-hmm.
And also St. John's, New Brunswick, was the second shipbuilding yard. And also Glasgow built quite a few,
mm-hmm,
of the Gilmore ships.
So how many ships did they have at peak then?
72.
72.
They were in competition with Cunard, and we know who won. There was quite a competition.
Is that so?
Yes. So, they started with sailing ships,
uh-huh,
and then they went to steel hulls, and then, of course, to motor ships. And then, when the fleet was wound down, it was all sold to the Saint Line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of South African influence there.
Right.
But after that, I lost track of it.
You lost track of it. It's a marvellous commercial story. It really is.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It really is quite remarkable.
I think that with being pioneers or lumber barons, as I think they
lumber
called them, barons.
That's
they called them. They called them in Canada. There was one attempt to get timber from far north to the sawmills, with about 300 miles. But the problem was that there was a lot of high ground in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So they could float the timber so far down, and then they decided to build flumes which carried,
mm-hmm,
carried the logs in channels. But to get over the mountains, they built steam-powered winches to pull the logs up over the mountain. To do that, it cost them many millions of pounds. And the problem was getting timber 300 miles took such a long time,
uh-huh,
that ultimately the wood was rotten by the time it reached the sawmill. So all the money was wasted.
Yeah.
But parts of it are still there in northern Canada. The Gilmore Tramway.
The Gilmore Tramway.
It's called, yes. So it's still there, and there's quite a lot on the net, on the web about
it. Oh, I must look at that. Yes.
And, A chap called Gary Long wrote a book about it.
Is he a Canadian?
Yes, he is. And there was some talk about being made into a film, so I don't know what happened with that. But I think it would make quite a good film.
It's a remarkable story, yes, isn't it? Yes, and then, of course, you bought the estate from the Eggingtons, and then...
Then it was 15 years later that they built the house.
The Eaglesham House. And it was a very imposing pile. You would never see it, sir, no. No, it really was.
It was baronial style.
Because that architect David Bryce was very well known. I mean,
he
built a lot of very important buildings in Edinburgh.
And I think the Bank of Scotland.
The Bank of Scotland on the Mound was one of his buildings. And that was eventually burnt down around about the 50s, 1950s.
Yes, 54. They used it to store hay.
And then finally it burnt down. That's right. And of course it's now Lynn Products. And now you've got a burial ground beside the...
That's right, that still exists. And I was there yesterday to clear the weeds and make it look good again. So I try to come down every year if possible, but now of course the History Society is here. I love to come down even more.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm just delighted. I initially thought the History Society might be 4 or 5 people, but when you're saying the membership's near 100, just incredible.
Well, it shows the demand. We must be doing something right. Good. Well, thank you very much again, Alan.
And can I just say how much I love the village, just walking around yesterday.
That's good. That's
absolutely wonderful. It's nice to see, as it should be.
Yes.
And long may it continue.
Well, thank you very much.